If you're going to really master a relationship, you got to master two primary skills. You must know how to select and connect. Those are the skills of relationship, selection and connection. And you've got to find a way to constantly improve the amount of joy, passion, nourishment that's happening within you and the person your relationship in. If you want to have not just a lover, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever your language is, if you want more than that, you want a raving fan. A raving fan is somebody, if you were going to use a business metaphor, since there's so many business owners in the room, satisfied customers leave. I'll say it again. Satisfied customers leave. If they get a much better deal, much better opportunity, they'll leave. But a raving fan customer never leaves. And I'll give you a good metaphor in business. Apple Computers did everything it could do to screw up, you know, and upset their customer base years ago, didn't they? In fact, they almost went under. They didn't make enough software. And a lot of companies and people that were Apple lovers. Now, people who use Microsoft, those individuals, who uses Microsoft products and services? Great. And give me an emotional sound for how you feel about that company. Who here uses Apple products and services? And I didn't even have to ask them to make a sound. Did you notice that? Make the sound, Apple products. How do you feel about Apple as a company? Now, it's only, you know, 10% of the room, but almost everybody booed for Microsoft, which has the dominant marketplace, and they cheer for Apple. And the difference is people who use Apple are raving fans. So interestingly enough, when someone's a raving fan, even when Apple screwed up, I didn't give up on Apple. I let people in my company, I had to, because it wasn't software change, but I used Apple, and then they finally came back, and I got my iPods, and my video iPods, and my iPod Nanos, and my, you know, laptops, and all that stuff that I always believed in, but there was a level of connection that was there that's different than a satisfied customer. Your goal in a relationship, above all else, is you want to make sure that you make this person who's in your life your raving fan, and there's only one way to do that, worship them, not just love them. If you want to have something that's extraordinary, because that person who is worshipped is not going to leave in a million years. And what makes them know they're worshipped is the following. First, before you can get there, you got to know what do you really what? Because everyone is different. We all want love. We want the same needs. But we got to know what we want. You can't make something happen until you get clear. What was the first step to taking something impossible and making it real? Focus. You need a vision. Without a vision, people what? Perish. You need a vision for your relationship, a vision for what is it I really want most in life, what would excite me, what would light me up. And I don't just mean a vision of what that person is supposed to look like and be like, or what values they have, that could be part of the vision, but also, what is your vision for what this relationship would create in the world that would inspire you to be in this relationship? Because without a vision of what the relationship's gonna be, you're gonna settle for whatever shows up. But most of you in this room, you know how to take the impossible and make it possible. All you gotta do is get a vision that is so compelling to you, so exciting and so clear that you get so much emotion, you'll figure a way to make it happen. So tonight, before we leave this room, you're gonna create that new vision. And you're gonna be absolutely clear about what it is you want in a relationship. And you might say, but I'm already in a relationship. Well, remember I said the two skills you gotta have is select and connect? The first and most important selection you're gonna make in your life. Well, I'll tell you this first. 95% of the happiness you're going to have in life is going to come from who you select as your partner. So we're going to get absolutely clear about what is it you really want, because it's impossible to get there otherwise. I'll tell you what helped me. And this would be if you're brand new and you're single, the best way to do this is you sit down, you write down every single thing on earth you could ever want in the ultimate partner in life, your ultimate mate, your ultimate lover. Mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, the way you guys would pitch and catch, what you would do together, how you'd share. Every detail, a level of specificity that normally you would think is insane. And then you gotta make a second list, I learned. And I did this years ago. I made this list and I read it. It was pretty cool. And then I got in a relationship, and in that relationship, I kind of let it grow because of what most people get in relationship with. I didn't select consciously. What makes a relationship work is things in common, similar values, right? Similar dreams or goals or loves or desires. What makes a relationship work is having things in common, because what that gives you is the emotion of certainty that allows you to open up and connect. People like people who are like whom? Themselves. So you like this person, and you have certainty about this person. You have connection with this person because you have a connection through interests or values. And you have certainty because, hey, they're like me. So what makes a relationship work is things in common. What makes a relationship passionate is uncertainty. Differences, things that are different is what makes it passionate. This is the critical understanding. Can you have both in a relationship simultaneously, yes or no? Yes, but most people pursue one aspect of their needs, like in the beginning they want the variety and the uncertainty and the excitement that comes with that. And this person's so different than me, and so it excites me because I'm quiet and they're loud and intense and playful. And then they get around and they think, oh, I want this forever, and they try to get a hold of this person and very often try to control them. And then what they want to do is get this place of connection, but also control, certainty. And they try to make their spouse, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their husband, their wife like them. All their being loud before was exciting. Now it's loud. Now, why do you always have to do what they were doing in the very beginning? But now you're irritated by it. Because now what's happening is you're trying to meet these other needs. And if you reinforce somebody or you punish them for being a certain way and try and make them like you, you will have a great friend and no passion. And they'll never go back to the way they were because they don't want to lose love, or they've been rejected so much, they don't want to be in that place. They start to protect themselves. There's a way to have both. It's learning how to honor those differences and enjoy those differences. Now, some of those you already honor and enjoy, but if you're going to honor and enjoy them in some areas are inconvenient. You don't like them, but you got to learn to love what you didn't like. But are there some things that are so different than you that they would destroy a relationship? Yes, like you have certain values that are the core of who you are, and if somebody has the opposite, it'd be pretty hard for you to really sustain a quality relationship. So the place to start, if you're single and are not in a relationship, is get clear about what it is you really want. But be aware it has a combination of things that are like you and not like you. It's got to have both those, or you're not going to be alive. You make your list of everything you want. Then you make your list of everything, and the second list is really critical. Everything that you must not have in a relationship. Not should not. There's lots of things you prefer not to have, but must not have. By the way, you can get everything you want in a relationship and get two or three things you must never have, and it'll destroy it. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, the person was exciting and this and this and this, but they were completely dishonest. I mean, you're not going to sustain that relationship. It's not possible. So even if you're not in a relationship, how many would like to have a way to evaluate whether or not this is the right relationship or not for me? How many think this would be valuable for you? Say, I. And it saved my life to have the ability to do that. Saved my life. But I'll tell you the first thing I did, I thought everything in my life that I've ever created, I went back and did what I asked you to do. What did I create that was impossible? How did I do that? I mean, think about it, I always started by focusing on what I wanted, not where I was. Isn't that true? Only focus on what you want to create. So I said, okay, what am I committed as a soul to have in a relationship with a woman? Mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, everything. And then what can I not have? And then my third one was, what kind of man would I have to be to attract that quality of woman? Instead of saying, how come I don't have this person? It's not hard to figure out. I'm not the man. Or I am, but I'm not showing up as him. Because if you focus on the outside, it'll always be screwed up because you'll always blame somebody else. So I went, okay, clarity first. What do I need? What am I committed to? What do I want? And clarity, what must I be for that type of person to be in my life? And if you're in a relationship, what I want to add, make even better, richer, deeper, sexier, more fun, more extraordinary, what do I not want? What would I have to be to attract that out of my partner in life so that we play at that level together? That's the base of the triangle. And I'll tell you what, it saved my tail because I can remember I ended my relationship in Fiji and I said I want you to be able to take as much time and be here, and I got on a plane and I was on a commercial aircraft and I was crying uncontrollably for 2 hours, and the stewardess kept coming up going, are you okay? I mean, I was a mess because part of my head was going, what have you done? you know, you love your kids love you, now they're going to hate you. You know, you love what you do in life. You got so much love from so many strangers. Everybody tells you they love you, hugs you. You got all this love in your life. You have a mission from God. You know what you're here for. You're living it. Why don't you just, you know, be satisfied with that? Now people, they're always looking for something. There's nothing they could attack me on before except I was a guru somehow. But now they'll say, oh, he got a divorce. I never, ever said stay in a relationship where you're unhappy at any time in my life. But people love to manipulate, right? Significance, oh, here's a way to chop it down. That'll ruin my career. It'll ruin my mission. And I'm sitting there crying, feeling sad. Going, well, she's a good woman, and what are you doing? And then I opened my book, and there was my list. And I read it, and I stopped crying. Because I went, this is not about her. She's a great woman. She just isn't this. And I'm not going to be that man in a relationship there. It wouldn't fulfill her. She doesn't like that man. She likes things he accomplishes and achieves, but she doesn't like him, and that's me. How many follow? So that wasn't about making somebody else wrong. It was about what am I committed to? And who am I committed to being? Who am I really in my soul? So if you're brand new and single trying to figure out what to do, that's step one. I'll tell you step two for everybody. You read that list every day. I was reading that thing 4 or 5 times a day to keep my sanity about why I did what I did. And every time I read it, I got stronger. But also, remember how you created something that was impossible? What'd you do? Focused on it. And then you got a massive amount of what? Emotion for it. And then you started to create it. It goes beyond the mind. It goes into creating something the same way you've created those other impossible things. You can still take actions, get in proximity, do all kinds of things, but things come together. So I would read that thing 3 or 4 times a day, and then over the next couple months, I got to where I was reading it at least once a day. And over the next few months, I was probably reading it twice a week. And then I got to where I was reading it about once a week. And I was dating and going out and having experiences and being miserable. This is ridiculous. I just want to meet and be with somebody. I want to get to know somebody. I don't want to take care of another 50 people. You know, I just want to, can we go to the soul quick? And I kept reading and reading and reading at each time and reminding myself I have been able to create anything I've wanted in any other area of my life, so I'll do it here too. And then all of a sudden, my Bonnie Pearl's with me, and we go on a trip. We dated, but it still wasn't there because we hadn't had the passion. Because I was busy being, you know, pleasing and supporting and having no center for every woman, including her. And she was busy not wanting to be a burden and not want to try to manipulate me like all the women she saw manipulate me, and I was taking care of them. So she didn't want to be one of those. So I didn't feel needed by her. Because, you know, my definition of love was somebody needed you. So I picked a relationship with a woman who had 3 kids. She needed me. And I could take care of her. And I felt that was love. Being needed and being loved have nothing to do with each other. They're different experiences. I didn't know that. My definition was being needed was loved. Somebody can need you and not love you. And if somebody loves you, they need you for a different thing, in a different way. It's a different experience. So I had no spark with her because she didn't feel needed because Sage was, and I'll talk about Sage, Sage was the masculine one in her relationship. She ran the business. She got the degree. She paid the bills. She made things happen because he didn't do anything in that area. Totally, completely in charge, intense. And so she didn't need a man, never needed. I didn't be needed, so I was looking for some woman who needed me. There were plenty of women that wanted to be, you know, a man who would take care of them and feel needed by. But they weren't coming from the heart. And we went on this trip, and we were, you know, dating, and we had the greatest time on this trip, and we were so in sync, and we were doing things and laughing. And you know when you're with a friend and you say the same things at the same moment, and you have the same thoughts, and at one point, we both reached for a cookie and ate this cookie, and we both threw it down simultaneously, looked at each other, was so silly, and laughed. And I thought to myself, I looked at her, you know, and she wasn't paying attention at one point, and I thought, what's the matter with me? I mean, she seems to be, I love being around this one all the time, 24 hours a day. And I was so excited, and I pulled out my book, which I hadn't read in probably a couple weeks, and I read the list. And I said, come here, I want to show you something. She sat beside me, and she'll tell you it's true. I read her this list. I said, this is what I want in an ultimate relationship woman. And every single thing, page after page after page, she was in everything on the list that I said I must not have. There wasn't one she was. Now, there was stuff I didn't even know I wanted that was on the list that I got when I got her, like insane, crazy, goofy. Goofy was not on my list, right? Dorky. I never would have put it on my list. And also, when I first met her, she didn't meet my visual, believe it or not, because everyone has an archetype, and mine was short, dark hair, and she was tall and, you know, blonde hair. I mean, I had zero of that stuff. And why don't you tell them, what was your archetype? Was I your archetype? Pine Pearl? Give her a hand if you would, please.
We did. It was interesting. When we first met, we had this amazing soul connection, but just different quirks and different likes. I'd never dated a really tall, hairy... You know what I mean? Just quirky little things. And we both had just our little hang-ups. And we connected at the soul level, and we built this amazing, beautiful friendship. And as soon as we both entered the core of who we were, and it was like we knew in this space that we were loved. You know, there's no part in this man that I don't love, and vice versa. And through that place, it just like the floodgates were opened. And just every day from that time, from that trip, we've been inseparable. And
what's wrong with Harry?
I love Harry now.
Okay.
What's wrong with tall?
Nothing. Give her a hand. Thank you very much, honey. It's true. What you may think is your archetype changes when you fall completely in love with someone. Because now I look back, I think, stupid. How dumb could I be? Other guys were dying over her. Right? You know, I look at them and they were lining up. So, are you following me now? First step, is it clear to you, yes or no? First step, you're clear about what it is you really want, what you don't want, who you gotta be. And that's whether you're single or whatever position you're in, you wanna take it to the next level of life, even if you're at the top, that's what you do. So, select and connect. Other fundamental is constantly improving the fulfillment of that life. Core of this, we want to create our partner as somebody who is worshipped, somebody who for us is a complete raving what? Fan. How do we do that? Know what you really want and become the kind of person other people want to give to. Become the kind of person your partner wants to give to. Know what they really want and what? What are their desires, their values, their beliefs, their rules, their fears? So you got to know what do they need. And you got to give them what they really need and get addicted to finding new ways to give them pleasure. Not you, them. What makes somebody a raving fan is when the conversion happens inside of you that nothing on earth lights you up more than to light them up. When that becomes your ultimate pleasure, trust me, you won't have to worry about whether you create a raving fan or not. But to get there, got to know what do you really committed to? What do you really want and what do you not want? And you're going to make a long list, but which ones are the musts? Some are shoulds. Which are the musts? And then who do you have to become? Then go to the next piece. Know everything you can about their needs, desires, wants, dreams, feelings, and their core energy, whether it's female or male core energy. And know how to fill that up and get addicted to finding new and more powerful ways to make them feel extraordinary. You do those things, it's over. You win the game. And you know what? What's neat about this game is the more you win, the more you want to play. So it's all about selecting and connecting. Those are the two skills, constantly making it better. Create a raving fan partner. How do I do it? Know what I want. Know who I got to be. How else? Know what they want, what their needs are. And then not only give it to them, but get addicted to filling them up in ways that make them crazy. I win. I want to play again. I want to play deeper, richer, more. That's the whole game. Now let's chunk it down some steps, okay? If you're in a relationship, the hardest question in our minds, and our minds get here. By the way, your mind will always give you the wrong answer. If you want the right answer, you will always come back to your what? Heart. I mean that literally now. Literally. When you think somebody's screwed you over and they're hurting you or you want to hurt them or you're in a fight, you want to solve it? We have a real simple thing, my girl and I. This is what it is. What we do is at any time, if either one of us gets sane, and I got to tell you, we've had maybe 12 really intense fights in our whole time, and I used to always fight in relationship because I'm an intense human being, and I won't like be real quiet about things. So I'd share it until I became in one relationship where I just finally said it isn't worth it. And I wasn't even being myself there, so then I was mad inside. And when you're mad inside, you don't do anything about it, you get depressed. True? So the bottom line, but we don't exactly, I don't have a wallflower over there, as you may have figured out. We're both intense people. I mean, mom and dad say, I don't know how you guys could love each other so much because we are like, We're intense people. But what's interesting is in all the times, it's been about a dozen times, because our thing is we never question the other person's intent. I know her soul, she knows mine, and if we start to get in that crazy place, either one of us can go, time out, you gotta go breathe in your heart. You're not in your heart, is what I'll usually say. And she'll look at me and go, you're not in your heart. If either one of us realizes that we're being stupid and crazy to make sure the relationship never gets hurt, even if you don't want it, we go off and we breathe for 2 minutes in the heart, and we think of the things that we're really grateful for, and we come back, and we don't begin until both of us agree we're in our heart. And at that point, it's over. And almost always, we're both apologizing. I'm honey, I'm sorry, I was stupid, it's gone, okay? It's gone. But what we do have is we're aligned on three other core things so that the core foundation is solid. So then it's just an operational thing of not hurting each other with words and things like that by breaking the pattern when it's small. Here's my theory. Kill the monster while it's a baby. Kill the monster while it's a baby. Don't wait till it takes the city. Don't wait till it's, you know, what was that Japanese monster thing they used to go in? Don't wait till Godzilla's grown up. Kill him while he's an egg. And that's what we do. You kill it while it's little. You do not let go. You don't just, some people say, well, you don't go to bed mad. Don't let it grow to that place during the day. You go to bed mad, it's over. Because now it's in your unconscious, start making crap up, meanings, it's over. What you gotta do is kill the monster right away. But some of you haven't done that before for years, and some of you are in a place where you didn't know how to select. No one taught me how to select. So we have a foundation. Here's how you're gonna know if you have the right relationship in the future when you go get one, or if you're in a relationship where you're evaluating, you wanna clarify it's here, or if you don't want to because you're scared you're gonna get the answer you don't wanna hear, then just listen. Because you can't help but to, because even though you don't wanna hear, you do.